What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Behind the Wheel podcast. I'm Scott. This is Rich. We're here. We're doing it again. So listen. So let's get right into it. I want to talk about this manual car thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very, very interesting.
Yeah, manual cars are cool.
No. Yeah, of course they're cool. But what I mean is, like, what's interesting is I think that we're starting to see a resurgence of people that want to drive manual cars, mm-hmm. right? And I think some of the data supports that. I think we increased from like a 1% of cars or something like that to a 2%
yep.
of cars that are being purchased in manual. So we've doubled.
Yeah. I think that was over like a 2-year span though, but still, but from,
right.
yeah, from 2021 to 2023, I think it's like doubled, something like that.
The one thing I think I would like to know is I would love to know if the amount of car offerings with manual have increased. That part I don't know that I
want to say probably not. I don't believe there's any 5-speed sold anymore. Is that true?
No, you got me stumped. Yeah. It would make sense, though.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it's a really low-power car. Like, I met you if you got something like a smart car.
There's a Chevy model that was, like, the last of the 5-speeds. I can't remember what it was. One of those small Chevy, what are they called? I don't even know. Model?
Like a Veo, a Spark, or something.
Spark, maybe? Yeah, Spark's not an EV. It just sounds like an EV. It might have been the Spark.
So what I think is interesting is, like, Spark, you're starting to see, yeah, you're starting to see a lot of these cars now that are available in manual. What's interesting to me, and this is something that I thought was interesting that Max dug up, which was in Europe, like, all right, so our total vehicles sold are like 2% or 2.8%.
Yeah, of American sales in manual.
Or manual.
So let the people guess on what Europe has.
Yeah, take a moment to yourself. Let it sink in. Guess the percentage, and it's going to be a wide swing, but guess the percentage of cars that are manual in Europe. Go ahead, let it resonate.
Mm-hmm.
Let it sink in.
How about my initial guess? Which I know the answer.
Rich's initial guess.
I know the answer, but my initial guess would have been like somewhere in the ballpark of maybe 25%.
Okay, that's a fair assumption. So yeah. The research we pulled,
mm-hmm.
have your answer ready, is that something in the excess of 55 to 80%
mm-hmm.
of all cars driven in Europe are manual.
Yeah.
And again, going on to that, just 3%. Of the cars in the U.S. roughly,
right,
that are driven manual. So let's quickly get into why we think this is. I first off, you know, there's been a study which you know Max had pointed out. So we'll talk about that in a sec, which is kind of entertaining all in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I think in Europe there's been a more consistent use of the manual transmission the entire time.
Yep.
Right? I think there's a level of driver there. I also think that there's a level of economy that they use a lot of their cars, especially the smaller cars,
mm-hmm.
Overseas, that the United States doesn't really have.
Well, when I think about it, I mean, they also have smaller roads, right?
Yeah.
So they have tiny roads, tiny cars, and their tiny cars are, I would imagine, inexpensive.
Right, so what you're saying, tiny cars, you want tiny gear sets?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, typically a lot of cars, when you get if there's a manual and an automatic option, typically the automatic costs more, right? It's normally more premium price.
I mean, like at least here in the States, I mean, it's like $500 more, $800
it's
more.
It's normally like $1,000 or something.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think, look, the United States and I say this, you know, kind of being one of them, is mm-hmm. a different breed in the sense that they're more occupied.
Yep.
They're lazier. They're, you know, they're more comfort and creature feature oriented than I think many other cultures are. And it's interesting because when you start to think about the vehicles that are offered here, even entry-level vehicles, you know, let's say the Chevy Sparks and stuff like mm-hmm. that, they have more creature comforts than you'd find in a lot of cars.
Yeah.
You know, they're coming. Think about it. When was the last time you got into a car that didn't have Bluetooth technology, that didn't have power everything, that didn't have, you know, I mean, it's very, very, like, you're not going to, unless you look for an older car, you're not going to find too many newer cars that don't have all those features built in.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely going to have that, at right. very least, yeah.
And so I don't know that, you know, some of these convenience features and creature comforts are built into a lot of the other vehicles that are owned. And plus, I think there's some areas, especially in Europe, I mean, like if you go into like Slovakia or something, I, again, I'm completely uninformed, so don't beat me up here. But I think that there's a higher level of just transportation needed, not really worried about their long commutes or whatever right. it may be.
Yeah.
You know?
I think also something to do with offerings. I'm sure that the, you know, all those companies that are not here in America
yep.
that have options of small little micro cars or whatever you want to call those things. I'm sure that they have lots of offerings yeah. with a standard, you know?
Yeah.
With standard gearbox and just, I don't know, but.
this is funny. So one of the things says, automatics are much more unitary. Can you help me here?
I don't even know where you're reading.
It's the top. Utilitarian. Utilitarian. Thank you.
Yes.
Cars. They get people from point A to point B. I'm not sure. I know this source is a valid source, but one of the things that they say, or that this person says, is that Americans eat while they drive and they multitask while they drive. Mm. Right. So Europeans do not. So. This brings up a whole other. I think that we might have just stumbled onto something that NHTSA and DOT may want to pay attention to. You don't have to make all these different laws for using your cell phone and all these different things mm-hmm. while you're driving.
Yep.
Preoccupied driving can be fixed right here, right now. Here's how you fix it. You make every car a manual.
Yep.
And you will have no choice but to not be on your phone, because it's very, very difficult to operate a car. And, but listen, all you internet heroes that are about to just get on me and say, I drive my car manual and I use my phone and I text. Well, all right, listen, that's...
Yeah.
We're talking about the broad scheme of people. I drive manual and I can properly do it to an extent. But listen, if you have one hand on the wheel and your other hand is texting, at some point you do have to move your hand over to
mm-hmm.
the stick
yep.
to go into another gear.
Correct.
So, like, you know, just saying.
Could be an easy solve.
Could be a really easy solve.
Do you eat in your car?
I don't.
I figured so.
The only time that I think I would... Well, first off, all right, in my Z, never. Never.
Right.
Never. I'll hang out the window while I'm driving mm-hmm. before I would eat in my car.
Yeah.
Yeah. In like my everyday driver, like, you know, I have like an Atlas, you know, mm-hmm. that I drive every day for the kids and stuff. I guess I don't really plan to eat meals in the car, but if let's say we're on a road trip, I will, but I don't like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, first off, like, it's a hot stinking mess trying to eat yep. anything, unless you're eating like nuggets and fries. By the way, that is the reason that I believe chicken nuggets were invented.
As a to-go food.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the only reason, then we really got a good product out of that.
I don't think that was the only reason. I'm pretty sure that I've watched the McDonald's documentary before, and that is not what they were looking for. But I do think that there are some foods that lend themselves. Like, listen, you can't properly get Taco Bell and eat it in your car.
I feel like that's one of the ones that you can.
No, it's not, because it's too many loose items.
If you get a Mexican pizza, it's not going to work.
Right, but not going to work.
If you get a little burrito.
All right, burrito. Right, but burrito right. is held together by its own binding
yep.
self. But if you get like one of those Taco Supremes.
Yeah, that's going on.
You open it up, there's lettuce and there's cheese flying all over the place. Yeah. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the worst part is that stuff, you can't get that stuff out of the car.
I don't get it. I don't eat in my car, and right. I don't think I ever have.
Right.
And even when I was growing up, if my parents took my family like in a minivan or something, we were not really the eat in the car type of people.
Yeah.
It just wasn't that way. But
right.
people who eat in their car freak me out.
Really?
That's so gross.
Why? Why is it gross?
What you just said, like
no, well,
the,
all right.
the cheese in the cracks, and then it stays yeah. there for a couple of years, and then,
yeah.
oh, man, I don't
now,
know.
Now, with that, I have kids, and if you ever look at the backseat of my car, and I clean it pretty frequently. Like, I have a whole vacuum set up just to clean their muck.
I'm the guy when if I'm going out to eat with my friends and we go to a fast food place or something, and they walk out with a soda in their hand. I'm like, you're crazy if you think that's coming in my car.
Oh, the soda?
Yeah.
Why not the soda, though? You have cup holders.
Well, spills happen.
I mean, I guess they do, but look at this guy.
Yeah, no.
He's having a whole sit-down meal there.
I don't know. If my friends watched this and they heard me say this, they'd be like, yeah, he says this all the time. Yeah. Like, I would be like, I did not spend X amount of money for you to screw my car up.
All right, that's fair. You know? But so let me ask you a question. So eating while driving causes 80% of all car accidents.
That's crazy.
Well, this is from 2009. This is not valid anymore.
That's not valid anymore.
2009 is before the cell phone height really grabbed on to people. But here's what I will say this, is that I think that, I don't want to say like eating, but.
Distractions?
Yeah, like. I think a lot of this just comes down to Americans tend, I believe, and I don't know the data on this, but I would guess that if you looked at the data versus from Europe versus versus America, I would say that the average American commute is longer than the commute is in Europe.
Right.
My guess.
I think for where we live in New York, I'm pretty sure the average commuter does.
It's like 22 miles or something like that, right?
Well, I know annually. Annually, I know it's something around like 15,000.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be around, you know, it's got to be a little bit over that. Yeah. So, but I would say that there's a good chance that the American commute is longer.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we've adjusted to thinking that. We should do more. Well, you know what, too? I would even venture to say that the American priority list of kind of what they do as far as, for example, I bet you if you look at the Italian culture in general, there are less on-the-go type people. I would bet that they make priority for...
You're walking a fine line with that.
But listen,
out a whole country.
No, but listen. But what I'm saying is, like, I'm saying, like, let's say Greece and Italy, and so I believe that they still have a cult. Not everybody, but I believe that on a whole, their culture still values having meals, and their culture still values having more of a work-life balance. My guess from the things I've heard, right? Ooh, this is interesting.
Well, isn't
25 minutes? Oh, it's like same thing.
Isn't France the whole
same thing?
Balance place?
Look, everybody. Yeah, like it seems like I was wrong with that. Our commutes are probably pretty similar. But like
that's not distance.
That's time. Minutes, right? That's time. True.
Yeah,
that's true.
It might take them 10 minutes to go a mile.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
no, I don't. I bet you. Well, I don't know.
I've never been to Europe.
Yeah, me either.
No.
But I've heard a lot of things. I know a lot of people from Europe. So like, I think that when I think about this whole thing, I think like I always hear that they value their meals, that they stop. You know, everybody stops to eat their meal and stuff. Whereas Americans are jamming. Over the course of just a week. Yeah. So Americans' average commute time is about an hour a day, which is 25 minutes each way. Anyhow, but like, I think like Americans have developed a very on the go culture.
Yep.
Right. So the ability to eat in a car, I mean, you know, drive throughs, fast food, all these different things, they're, you know, primarily used to eat on the go.
Yeah.
And I don't know that there's not a culture that really does a better job at us at prioritizing that.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I mean, I think it's a terrible thing.
Yeah, right.
Like, I mean, like I'm very much, even though I don't, it's one of those things like don't do as I say as
they
I do.
They do, yep. Yeah.
But like I'm very much the opposite. Like I don't have any work-life balance pretty much anymore. But I greatly believe in it, which is hard because, you know, but I also think that, you know, the culture that we have here, especially in the States, doesn't really support it.
Yeah.
You know, and I imagine there's similar cultures like that. Like, I think the Asian culture is probably the similar way.
Definitely.
There, you know, but it's very difficult for me to think. Like, I really do wish that, you know, like I heard like about Greece and different things, and they prioritize meals. Like they stop, the country basically shuts down in the middle of the day for lunch.
I don't know if Greece is really even up and running to shut down.
That's fair. That's fair. Sorry, Greece. Yeah. By the way, I like your salads. Was that that was bad, right?
No, it's okay.
All right. I do. I like your salads. I think they're the best of the salad
in
world.
In case Greece is watching.
In case Greece is watching.
Yeah.
Viva la salad. But yeah, so I think the manual thing is interesting. There's still a lot of cars that have now come out, and I think performance cars. And there is a piece of this whole puzzle.
It's only performance cars now, which is funny.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't think it's funny. I think that there's a great bunch of people like us that are car enthusiasts that are yearning to have that driving experience.
Well, I think it shows that the only people buying a stick in the United States are enthusiasts.
Right.
That
would make sense because, you know what, I've heard the number. Mm-hmm. I've heard the number that roughly 3% of all car owners consider themselves an enthusiast.
And that fits in line with the manual owners.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. So that's pretty actually interesting statistic. But what about some cars that are no longer available with a stick? I think Mini Cooper cut off a few models. Okay. I'm pretty sure the base Civic is no longer stick. You can only get the Touring, SI, Type R, those three.
Yeah. I mean, listen, there's cars that still upset me. Like, I believe, if I'm correct, that, a new GT3 RS, you can only get it in the PDK transmission. You can't get a manual gearbox.
Oh, Kia dropped the ball not offering the Stinger GT2 in a stick.
Well, they don't sell enough cars for them to really drop the ball that far.
That car is so cool. They should have put a sticker in that damn car.
Listen, that's not my debate. My debate is just that I don't think they sell enough of them that it really is going to hurt them all that bad.
But, I mean, you don't hear a lot of enthusiasts talk about the Stinger. But,
Max. This is a good one.
No stick.
Yeah. Lead us up. Go. All right. So, go to the first one. Go ahead. Sorry. Finish your thought.
No, nothing. Just that's a really cool car. I think enthusiasts would have really liked it when they realized that thing is just a brick shithouse of super fast all-wheel drive sports car, and they didn't offer a stick in it. I don't know, but...
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying.
They should have.
I'm just saying, man, I wish they had done a better job on the rear end of that car.
Anyhow, Stinger?
Yeah.
It's cool.
I don't like the rear.
That's where we disagree. I think the whole car looks great.
The front's cool.
The ugliest thing on that car is the Kia badge. I'm not even joking. That's not even, a shot at them. It's literally just the ugliest thing on the car.
You like that new Kia logo?
Do you see the article that says how many people per day Google KN car brand? They can't read it out as Kia.
Yeah.
Is that hilarious? Yes. Wait, Max, I want to see the article. That was good.
So yeah, that was article was, no.
The one that you had before though. But yeah, so
yeah.
People are Googling KN.
I know. I get it. But let's go back to the other article. So this was, no, not this one.
The cars that should have been offered.
Max is shuffling through articles.
It's okay.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
All right, so these are 13 cars that didn't offer stick for some reason, and 12 of them that did. Well, let's go to the ones that don't have stick.
I bet just Stinger's on here. Maybe not.
All right. So Nissan GT-R. Haven't offered it since the R35 came out.
Right. That's the elephant in the room.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's
totally.
It's discouraging. A little bit, but I also, I'm right. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
All right.
They should have. There you go.
GTS, yeah.
Yep.
911. I think that these cars are so darn set up to encompass the driving experience that I think not having that gear select, not having an option to have a manual.
Wait, no, I think this is saying it does have a stick.
What?
Am I wrong?
It's no.
It's a stick.
Oh, no stick. I see
no
what they're
stick.
Doing there.
Yeah,
all right.
Stick, no stick.
So, all right. So I think Porsche gets it.
I didn't know that was offered.
Well, no stick.
I feel like this is obvious. Mercedes.
Yeah,
not,
Mercedes. You kind of
ships.
Expect.
Yeah.
You kind of expect that.
Sick.
Zero one. We get that. That's
cool. Article.
That's a stick.
There you go.
No stick. Not 911 turbo.
So what does Porsche offer right now?
It's a PDK transmission, I believe. And so yeah. Listen, and I've driven the PDK trans.
Holy crap, it does 2.906.
So, and here's the thing.
Things are freaking rocket
I've driven
ship.
A PDK trans, and I have nothing bad to say about it. It shifts hard and fast, and the ability to use the paddles are there, and the truth is the car is legit.
So here's a question. That's something that I've always wondered just in car world stuff.
Yeah.
When Porsche has a technology like that, like their PDK transmission or whatever you want to call it, and as this ages on, will this transmission find its way into, say, Audis? And then down the ladder.
I mean, look, I think that there's already a variation of really good automatic transmissions. And I say variations because there's obviously dual clutch technologies. There's a bunch of different technologies. Maybe.
I mean, three years from now, does this make its way into an S4?
I'm not even sure that some of these transmissions in some capacity are not in
already. Oh, okay.
I still think that even driving, like, you know, like I was driving a GT3 or RS, you know, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago or whatever, and it's a PDK transmission. It's great. Car's great. You can still use the paddles and feel like you're not disconnected, but there is something about having a manual transmission, right?
The next car on the list is something that I'm kind of really growing to, which is weird for me.
It's a cool car.
Really out of character for me.
The ZL1 is a cool car. And yeah, it makes sense that they have stick. The American, like, this is, they're very much of American rooted, and the guy that's going to buy that car,
yeah,
he wants a stick. Yeah,
I know. But what, like, else we got? With the knowing that those are going to be discontinued,
no stick. Yeah, Ferrari, you kind of,
yeah,
no. Yeah, kind of expected.
Yeah, the supercar.
No stick.
It doesn't say stick or not stick. So
no, I don't even want to look at this car, to be honest with you. All right, no stick. All right, well, this is.
When was the last year it was offered in a stick? Like a 2006?
I don't know.
Were those offered in a stick?
Yeah.
They were, right?
Yeah. I think
so it's a bit of a letdown.
I don't know if it is. You know, here's the thing. If you're going to compete in a supercar world, you got to be able to make cars that can deliver the results. And the truth is the PDKs and some of the fastest, you know, automatics, they're faster.
Yep.
So, like, I think when you get into some of these exotics, that's why that happens. Yeah, I mean, all right.
This Ardo must be old if it has this one. It has the old 86.
Yeah, all right.
It's a hybrid, so it was to be expected.
Yeah. I'm concerned that this, like you said, this is an old article.
So this is a fun one here. The Golf R is no longer available in a stick in Europe. Only available manual transmission in the States.
Right.
So how do you interpret that?
Well, I mean, maybe they've started to eat gelato on the move.
I think it's that people value the DCT and the automatics out there, and they're just like, this is just way cooler. It's, you know, faster.
Is it that, or is it a whole generation of people that are starting to come up without having the skill level to drive a manual car?
In Europe?
Well, I'm just saying in general. Like, there is a level of kind of societal change that's happening, right? Like, you would say that, like, I would say, especially like here, in more urban settings, that, you know, there's a lot of kids that don't have any really value in getting their license. They'd rather just take an Uber. And
yeah.
I think if you take that to kind of a less intense level, you're going to have people that want to drive a car, but they just want to drive a car. They don't want to learn how to do another skill.
Yeah, but then riddle me this. If you're in Europe and most of Europeans drive a stick, according to 80% of sales.
Right.
And they don't offer a high-performance Golf R and a stick shift to them. You guys drive stick, but you don't get the stick. No one drives stick in America, but they say you guys don't drive stick, but you guys get the stick.
So what you're saying is they don't get the stick, they get the shaft.
I guess. But why is that? Volkswagen had to say something to the American market by saying, you guys actually buy this? I don't get it.
Well, the question I would have to you is, is that, and I don't know this, they offer a manual transmission here in the States?
Yes. Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would imagine it has something to do with more of a cost global type thing, but I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, the Golf R, the new Mark 8 Golf R, is only available in the stick only in the States.
You know, and the only other thing I could think of is that maybe the emission standards are changing that.
Maybe. That could be it.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Let's do the article of the
cars that are available today.
So 2023 Car and Driver, cars are still available with a manual transmission. Acura Integra.
I think Max will pull it up.
Yeah, well, I can still go through it while he does. So Acura Integra, they offer a 6-speed, makes sense. BMW M2, BMW M3, BMW M4. You see a pattern here?
Yeah.
Oh, this one I didn't know. The CT4, the Cadillac CT4 Blackwing.
So cool.
This is a great car.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Kross is one of these cars.
You know, the also for the first one on the list, the Acura Integra, the, also the Type S is confirmed 6-speed. So that's cool.
Yeah. CT5 Blackwing. Man, this is these are great cars.
Yes, they are.
They don't ever really get called. I mean, you know, they're expensive, but 668 horsepower in this thing. Dude,
I might find myself in a Camaro one day, which is crazy.
I don't really like
it. It's crazy. No, I of the American muscle cars, I kind of...
For God's sakes, would some of these car companies stop putting 2-liter turbo car, a 2-liter turbo motors into some of these cars?
Why?
Drive me nuts.
What, you want to go back to V8s?
No, but even if you don't, like, do a 3-liter, for God's sake. 2-liter turbo, 4-cylinder, do like a 3-liter, 6-cylinder twin turbo, something like, you know?
They do that. It's still fairly common. 2-liter
turbo, it's so wimpy.
Civic Si, which is awesome. They still made that.
Dodge Challenger.
Oh, we're off.
Dodge Challenger. Yep. Ford Mustang.
Which you will not see me in a Challenger or a Mustang. That's
yeah,
sure.
Me either. Yeah. I'm with that.
Neither of those.
Honda Civic, which is cool. Jim's got one.
Mm-hmm.
Elantra N, one of your favorites. It discontinued.
I didn't even know the Kia Forte was still made.
Well, hold on a second. Elantra has whatever, but they... The turbocharged Elantra N line discontinued its manual transmission.
The N line versus the N.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But an N performance model still does have it.
Forte. I had no idea the Kia Forte was still made. I had no idea.
All right, we're moving
on. That's news to me. Mazda 3, which I had.
You know, when you look at the Mazda 3 from this angle, doesn't it remind you a little bit of the BMW shoebox? The clown shoe.
I had this exact car. The one on the screen. I had that color, trim, everything.
Okay, so
I had that car.
But doesn't that remind you a little bit of the BMW clown shoe? Was the Z3M.
The shape. Yeah, the shape is funny. But you know what they say about this car? They said that they didn't give it any hard body lines, so it made it look rather futuristic.
Like a marshmallow.
Yeah, it made it look kind of like alienistic, futuristic. And I kind of love the fact that it was like a pseudo wagon. So. That's why
and it's
I
good
got
because
it.
Like people can't properly get a good hold when they're leaning on your car, so they like put their hand on it and slip off.
It was a good car. It was just boring.
I understand.
Yeah,
nothing a few hundred horsepower won't fix.
On that car, that thing's slow as molasses. But
Mazda Miata. Yep. All right. We know. You can't take
Mazda
that away.
Said the Miata will. They're never gonna get rid of the Miata. Is what they said.
Good.
Yeah.
They shouldn't.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Listen, I like to see that stuff.
Yeah.
Mini hard top and convertible. Way to go, Mini.
Yeah.
Killing it.
Clubman.
That one, I think, should come in a manual. But
I think this is the other 5-speed.
Versa.
It is 5-speed, see? Yeah. So Versa and Spark are the last 2 5-speeds.
I think this has everything to do with the fact that it's cost. But whatever. Yeah.
There's your 3-liter V6 twin turbo.
Bravo to Nissan for continuing a heritage of actual... well-driving cars.
So now that they have that platform with a stick, do you think they could bring a stick into a Q60?
They won't.
Doesn't that suck?
Well, I don't know. I guess it depends. You know, if you'd rather have the Z or a Q60 model.
I mean, you could, yeah, I guess.
Oh, my God. I love this car.
Mm-hmm.
This is, oh, my God. Such a good car. Porsche Cayman GT4 RS.
How much more of those go for? New.
I don't know
no
what.
No markup.
Like 130? Is that right?
I don't know.
140? I would imagine, yeah, 149,000.
That's only 130 above my price range.
Yeah, Porsche 911 still has a good old stick there. BRZ.
Yep.
Subaru Impreza.
You know, I haven't seen a new BRZ on the road yet. Still haven't even seen one.
Really?
I've only seen the GR86s. Mm. There's my car.
Subaru WRX.
Yep.
GR Corolla, which nobody can get.
Yep.
GR86.
Which I see plenty of.
Right.
And the Subaru, which is really cool.
So and then listen, I will say, that was a quick on their feet thinking to feedback from a pretty big company.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, Toyota, when they rolled out the Supra, they had nothing but complaints about it not being a manual. And just soon after, a year or two,
yep,
they rolled it right out.
But the Z4 is not available on the stick.
No, I don't think so.
So, like, will that happen?
I doubt it.
That sucks. I should I doubt do that.
It. I mean, I don't know, but
golf. I don't. There's no golf anymore in the States. I think it's just GTI.
Yeah, it's either GTI or it's going to be the Golf R, but
right, because there's no regular golfs anymore. And then you still get the Jetta GLI.
Yep.
Pretty cool. That's a really solid car. Probably a really good.
Well, and also driver. It looks like Jetta in the S or the Sport form.
Oh, so you can get a regular Jetta.
Yeah.
Wait, so Ford Bronco's not on this list, speaking of.
But wait, is that available in manual?
Yeah, it is. But I guess... Oh, here's every manual crossover.
I don't know.
So it's only two. It's only the Crosstrek and the Bronco.
Yeah. Cool. Well, at least that's the two they're showing. I don't know. I think the manual thing, I think it's from a car person. You know, like when I get into the car that I want to drive on a weekend, I want the manual.
Yeah.
I understand that, like, you can develop a, you know, some sort of automatic or a PDK or something like that, or, you know, dual clutch transmission that it shifts faster. Mm-hmm. I get it, but I want the manual.
Yep.
I want that stupid third pedal. Well, what do I do with my foot?
I don't know what to do with my hands. If you care about the time of shifting so much, I mean, where are you driving that? It really matters that seconds count.
I don't know. The whole reason I haven't built an engine for my car is because, I can't really raise the power that much. Where am I going?
Yeah.
It's purposely not usable.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I think if you have the option or you know how to drive a stick or want to drive a stick, I think you should.
Yeah. And also, I think you should, you know, make sure that everything you buy is in manual. This way, they don't give up on you.
Oh, yeah. No. This is a point that I always like to make is that if you look at the current, that whole list of cars that we just went through with available manual options is a pretty solid list for where we are in the automotive world right now. Yeah. It's a pretty solid list. And if people don't decide to buy those cars, they are going to die.
Right. So, well, that's true. But I also think that there's some external forces that are going to cause the death of cars in general. But
external force?
Yeah.
So like a giant earthquake? What are we talking about?
It's like more like a governmental thing.
Oh, not an earthquake.
Not an earthquake. I mean, I can't speak for California, but I think we'll be okay in New York. Maybe not a tidal wave, but...
Yeah, a tidal wave or tsunami or something.
Anyhow. So, I don't know. Let us know what you think. Well, what's the deal? Manual cars, necessary to have a driver's experience or not? You know what I mean? Like, I think there's plenty of people that will argue that, you know, some of these cars are so well handled and they handle so well that if you went down to, let's say, Tail of the Dragon or something like that, that you could have a better driving experience with an automatic transmission. I bet some people could argue that. And I would even...
Plenty of people will say that.
And I would even argue that there's a good chance of that. If you did, with a lot of the road race cars and stuff like that, some of those cars that just have, like, those incredible sequential transmissions that are, driven with paddles and stuff like that.
I think it all depends on what car you're driving to, obviously. Yeah. So,
I agree.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that's our take.
That is.
Let us know what you think about this whole manual thing. Cool that they're still offering them. Better driving experience without them. Throw it down below. Happy to hear about it. Don't forget this Friday, piece of content dropping for you. I believe it's a car walk around with Reza Arsham, USTCC driver.
Civic Type R.
Civic Type R. Very cool build. It was in our SEMA booth this year. So I think that's where we did the walk around. So so you should have some really cool products that were available. And cool build. Make sure you tune in and check it out. Don't forget to subscribe if you've listened to us this long. We deserve it. So that's it. Take care of yourself. And don't forget, we go live on Instagram and Facebook right before the podcast, 2 p.m. Eastern every Wednesday.
Maybe YouTube now, too.
Anyhow, till next time, take care.